Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today's Friday, June 5th, and we are back in the big book reading more about alcoholism, page 43, the third paragraph, starting with many doctors and psychiatrists agree, ending with there's virtually no other solution, and we're sharing on that paragraph. All right, our readers today, we have Olivia K. for the steps. Tenzin P. will be reading the traditions. Starting us off reading and sharing is Marge O. Page 164 is Tina S. The backup readers, Mark the Z. Newcomer greeters, Colleen M. And second hour host is Robin L. The share IDs from yesterday, Thursday, June 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. 23,518. That's 23,518. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,519. 23,519. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Olivia K. to read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning. This is Olivia K., recovered compulsive eater from Illinois. Thanks, Russ, for your service. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks.
Thank you, Olivia. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 traditions.
Yes, good morning, Russ and everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, Vicariate's message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tenzin, and thank you again, Olivia K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on a direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study in the Big Book, more about alcoholism. Page 43, third paragraph, starting with many doctors and psychiatrists agree, and ending with there's virtually no other solution. We're reading and sharing on that paragraph, and Bob is going to get us started today.
Good morning. Thank you, Russ. Majo from Massachusetts, eternally grateful and living in recovery a day at a time. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusions. One of these men, staff member of a world-renowned hospital, recently made this statement to some of us. Quote, what you say about the general hopelessness of the average alcoholic's plight is, in my opinion, correct. As to two of you men whose stories I have heard, there's no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless, apart from divine help. Had you offered yourself as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you, if I had been able to avoid it. People like you are too heartbreaking. Though not a religious person, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution. There's so much in this paragraph, and there's so much in this wonderful chapter. I hate to see it end, to be honest with you. I just feel like the shares have been phenomenal. But I was thinking about too heartbreaking and how many times I tried, how many diets, how many, you know, the grapefruit diet, this diet, Weight Watchers, diet workshop, the diet of the month with whatever came, whatever magazine came, or whatever suggestion came. And how I lost up to 50 pounds, quote, on my own, but I could never keep it off because I didn't understand the one bite. I didn't understand entire abstinence. And certainly I had no idea that I was supposed to have a higher power that was going to lead me to OA and the fact that the 12 steps is what makes me, you know, spiritually fit. It isn't just sitting in a chair and meditating and being quiet. That helps immensely. I believe in that. However, what I truly believe in is what other people have to say about abstinence and their way of life. And it isn't all about abstinence. I know we have to clean up before we can really go forward and actually make the connection between living a whole different life. And that's really what this is saying, is that the spiritual connection is what's going to make the difference. It's living a good life a day at a time, reaching out to others, helping others out, being an honest person, not carrying those secrets. Those are the things that made me eat, that I had no idea that that would drive me to just wanting to be numbed up all the time. So it's just such a learning curve in this program. But I truly believe that if I, the one bite would take me right down the river. You know, what is that old expression? You know, no paddle, in a boat with no paddle, and that would be me. That's how I would be, up the river with no paddle and just going down river fast. So I've been here many 24 hours. I still hear things that I think, oh, I never thought of that. However, just staying away from the food that I know for myself, in all honesty, is what I would call a red light food. Just, it's not part of my plan. I don't buy it. It's not there. And I love that expression. I don't have to hurt myself with food anymore. And with that, I shall pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Marge. Appreciate it. Now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon, and although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let someone else, some of the others, get a chance to share. What I'll need from you is your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, one at a time, please, and I will definitely let you know throughout the meeting where we're at in the book, and what we're sharing on. All right, who's up?
Tina S.
Janet B. Janet B.
Tina.
Lynn S.
Yeah. Janet. Is that Lynn?
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Alina S.
Okay.
Elise N.
Okay, there was some. I got, hold on. I got Tina, Janet
Elise.
B, and Lynn. Elise. Go ahead.
Dorita
T. Dorita. Okay.
Monica T.
Monica. Who else?
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Melissa C.
Melissa.
Thank you.
All right, we got a pretty good list here. Tina S, Janet B, Lynn S, Elise N, Dorita P, Monica T, Chris G, and Melissa C. All right, T, you're up, Tina.
Thanks so much, Russ. Tina S, recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Thanks so much for the lead share. That was great. You know, when I first got here, you know, they talked about this God stuff, and that wasn't something I was interested in, and its food plan looked pretty good to me. You know, I came from a history of the diet mentality. So, you know, I tried many, many diets, and they all worked until they didn't. And I love that that's what was shared, you know, on my own. You know, I could diet to a normal weight many times, but I couldn't stay that way, you know, and could not stay that way. And I love that they talk about it here. It says, there's no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. That was me coming in here. You know, over and over again, I had tried all the resources that I had found, that other people had found. No human power could have relieved my alcoholism, food addiction, you know. And then it says people like us are heartbreaking, which is the truth. When I work with people today that can't grasp this God thing or even just finish working the steps, which if I work the steps thoroughly, you know, I have this transformation that comes about. When then I have a relationship with a power greater than myself, and I no longer have to hurt myself with food. I also love that that was shared, you know. And it says there's virtually no other solution. There was not for me. There is not for me. You know, I have to continue to doing this thing one day at a time, whether I want to or not, whether I like it or not. It's just what I do. You know, I have the life beyond my wildest dreams today. You know, when I first came here, thought people were blowing smoke. Yeah, but, you know, made me want to gag when people said life beyond my wildest dreams. But, you know, today I have this freedom that is just so great, and that'll pass. Really looking forward to what everybody else has to share. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Tina. All right, next up is Janet B., followed by Lynn S.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. I'm Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Yeah, that line, 100% hopeless apart from divine help. Well, that was me. And what does it even mean to be 100% hopeless? To me, what I think it means is I could know what all my binge food, trigger food, red light foods are, and still not to be able to put them down. I could understand that the concept of entire abstinence. I could understand that if I have one bite that's not on my food plan, that's on one of my trigger foods, or is one bite more than what I've planned, I'm going to binge and not be able to stop. I can understand all that, and that can still mean nothing. It doesn't give me the power. Just like if someone has pneumonia and they say, oh, yeah, I know I have pneumonia, that's not going to get them better without the antibiotics. So I was 100% hopeless. I had knowledge. I had a decent food plan. I had structure and support because I was going to meetings. And I still kept binging because 100% hopeless means that there's nothing I can do without hope. That is a really scary place to be in. There's no hope. There's nothing I can do. And then they tell us, yeah, we are 100% hopeless, except, and here's the only exception, divine help. What does that even mean, divine help? And what I think it means, and what I think this book says it means, is that God is going to intervene in our lives in a way that is truly miraculous, right? Page 25 says that. He does for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. I had always believed in God my whole life, but I think I was like a practical agnostic. I believed God existed, but he was busy with like war and poverty and children starving in Ethiopia. And what did he care about me? But the way they describe God here, they say divine help. That here is a God who wants to help me, who is eager to help me, who is just waiting for me to turn to him. And these steps tell me what to do, right? In my step 3, it says that I surrender my will and my life to the care of God as I understand him. It means, very simply, just every day, it's like, what do you want me to do today? And please give me the strength to do that. And he does, right? They promise us we will have divine help. He will help me with all my problems. And the first problem he helped with, thank God, was that 100% hopeless food addiction that I had. It is alive and real and still helping addicts just like me, just like us. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Lynn S., followed by Lisa N.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., excuse me, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. 3 years ago, I was 100% hopeless. Absolutely. After being in program since 1989 and having years of recovery, I was 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And I love the next line too. Had you offered yourself as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you. People like you are too heartbreaking. I was heartbreaking, not only to myself, but to the people in program that I knew, the ones who were trying to help me, the ones who had to listen to me. And it was heartbreaking to myself, if that's even a concept. I don't know if it is, but I know I felt it. And there was virtually no other solution, and I didn't even want it. I did not want to stop eating. I wasn't done. I was not done yet. I wanted to keep eating. And part of me remembered how awful it is when I am in the food and where my head goes. And with me, I love every bite. I love every bite of the binge. It's not that. It's not that the food turned on me, but I turned on me in my head, and I couldn't stand being in my own head. I couldn't stand it. So for me, the only solution would be to kill myself because I can't stand where my head goes. And not wanting help from anybody, especially not wanting, I just didn't want to stop eating. But God sent out his search and rescue for me, and he touched that part in me where it says, and I'm going to badly quote it, but inherent in every man, woman, and child is the idea of God. And he touched that piece in me. Thank you, God, because there was virtually no other solution. Nothing but God, who rescued somebody like me when I didn't even want it. And it makes me wonder, so many people on the line want it so desperately. And we hear them every day. We hear them every day. Why God reached out and touched my heart, I don't know. But I am so grateful. Thank you, Russ, that I could celebrate 3 years yesterday moderating on Vision. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. Congratulations. Keep it coming. Next up is Elise N., followed by Dorita P.
Hi, this is Elise N. I'm not sure why I raised my hand, except I just wanted my voice out there. I've been suffering and relapse. Been, you know, back and forth, picking up the food. And I'm just grateful that you're here. I consider myself in recovery or recovered way back when I had made a vision for you before. And I've gone now and I've gotten another new sponsor and a vision for you. And I hope to, with God's help, for this to be the last time that, you know, I put down the food and that I have a new experience with these steps and I'm able to put down the food. So thanks for listening. And I'm going to listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise. Appreciate it. Before Dorita jumps up on here, let me let you know where we're at. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 43, the third paragraph, for sharing on that paragraph. Starting with many doctors and psychiatrists agree, and ending with there is virtually no other solution. And Dorita, you are out.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everybody, for being here. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm a compulsive overeater from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason. So I'm really grateful that I have a seat here. It's just interesting to me about the spiritual part in that paragraph. The doctor's talking about there's virtually no other solution. And it just is kind of funny to me a little bit about doctors. That doctor and Dr. Silkworth, they both kind of say the same thing. In the end of the doctor's opinion, there's two stories, and both of those stories is just about how the program, well, back then it wasn't the program yet, but just how God, the spiritual principles, which is God, who relieved those two people who were hopeless. And I'm just really grateful that I have a God of my understanding, and I'm able to trust my God and rely on my God. And thank you for all the shares before me. Somebody talked about, like, you know, having the spiritual, having God in my life, and having everything else in my life, meetings, sponsors, food plans, all this stuff in my life. But I know, too, that abstinence is a gift. Abstinence is a gift. And I had the gift before. I'm working on receiving the gift again, and I'm just really grateful. So thank you, everybody, for being here so that we can have a meeting. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Dorita. Next up is Monica T, followed by Chris G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Monica T. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida, presently in Vermont. And here we are, more about alcoholism, you know, my little subtitle, more about my abnormal thinking and mental part of my disease. So this chapter has been giving us all kinds of stories and explanations, or not explanations, all kinds of stories and examples about my crazy thinking. Why is it I'm abstinent? I'm doing well, but I pick up again. And I also find it very interesting, like was just shared, that our solution comes to us via three different doctors. It always amazes me that the scientific medical men are the ones that come out and say, you need a spiritual, a divine help, spiritual help. You need something greater than all of us. And this doctor here, this is Dr. Percy Pollack, and he said this to Bill. So we've got Dr. Young back in Europe, who was the first one that told Roland Hazard, you need spiritual help. And then we hear the same message again from Dr. Silkworth, and now here Dr. Pollack. And here these scientific medical men, this is the last people I would expect that would be telling me I need spiritual help for this disease. And how they're, you know, we are 100% hopeless. I was 100% hopeless. My little brain, my little sick brain kept trying to work my way out of this disease, and it never worked, but it kept telling me I didn't have a disease. I was okay. I could do it. Tomorrow would be different, you know? Gonna sleep on that magic pill tonight, and tomorrow it's gonna be different. So that's basically what I wanted to say, that our solution, the idea of the solution comes from scientific medical men. And nothing else human has worked for this mental disease that I have, but God has. Thank you, God, for this program and for each and every single one of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Monica. Next up is Chris G, followed by Melissa C.
Yes. Good morning. This is Chris G. I'm in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I want to just express gratitude today. I've been without phone for a few days, and I'm glad to hear your voices, all of you. And I love the opener with Marge. That was just great. And so what I wanted to say was God is speaking to me. And what I have suffered from is not remembering my bad behavior. And it doesn't matter if I remember it or not, it still happened. And so that has been what God has told me recently, that it still happened. And even if I don't remember it, it still happened. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Chris. Next up is Melissa C., and then we'll take another group of shares.
Hey, good morning, Ross. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I was going to wait to share tomorrow, you know, about because that part really drives the point home. You know, Monday's paragraph really drives the point home. But when I was listening to the reading this morning, what really grabbed me was the this idea that we were 100% hopeless, and that, you know, that we're heartbreaking, you know, and that, I don't know why that the term heartbreaking and were hopeless really just kind of got me in the heart. And I was thinking about my own experiences, you know, that, you know, when I used to read paragraphs like this, I would say, yeah, that kind of applies for alcoholics. I understand how they break people's hearts. But, you know, when I look at my experience with this disease, my history of this disease, I was heartbreaking. You know, I think about a time when I had, you know, I was always up and down the scale, and I had parents who really adored me. And, you know, after I'd gotten married, I had lost my abstinence on my honeymoon, and I regained a ton of weight. And I remember, you know, my parents lived in Florida at the time. I live in New York, and I went down, you know, to go visit with them and my husband and I. This was a few months after we got married. And I got off the plane, and I saw my mother's face, you know, the horror that crossed over her face. And, you know, of course, my initial reaction was, what the F? My mother is always judging me. But the truth is, you know, years forward, being a mother myself, that was heartbreaking for my mother to see her child clearly, you know, in the grip of something that was seemingly hopeless. It's crushing. And there were many other experiences like that where it was heartbreaking, you know, canceling on plans, showing up for a friend's funeral because I was so self-conscious about the weight I gained. Those are heartbreaking experiences. And, you know, when I went to a doctor, I had a doctor tell me that I wasn't going to make it out of my 40s. You know, he did not present to me the spiritual approach. You know, he didn't have it. He didn't know it. He didn't have it. He tried to target it from a medical perspective. You know, he tried to convince me to get weight loss surgery, believing that that was my answer. And I read this and I think, I'm so grateful for our fellowship where we don't turn people away because we believe that they're hopeless, because we know that there is a God that is greater than us that can come in and do what we could never do for ourselves. So we don't greet people with the turning them away. And I'm grateful for the sponsors that never did that to me, that always welcomed me back. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa. All right. So looks like we got maybe spots for six more people. So if you haven't shared in the past couple of days, we're good to go. If you did, step back, please. And we are on page 43, third paragraph. We're just sharing on that paragraph and more about alcoholism. Who would like to share?
Pearl M.
Pearl.
Esther K.
Madeline H.
Okay, hold on. I got Pearl M and Esther. What
Jackie
was it?
M.
Esther. Hold on. Jackie.
DNF.
DN. Hold on. 1 second. I missed an Esther. I just didn't get the initial, the first last name. But so I got Pearl, Esther, Jackie, DNF. Who else?
Madeline.
And what's the first initial of your last name?
H.
Madeline H. Let's take one more and see where we're at. Who else? Anyone else?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa. All right. All right, we got Pearl M, Esther K, Jackie M. All right, Melissa S. I think that's going to be it. Hopefully we can get everybody. Pearl, Esther, Jackie, Deanne, Madeline, Vanessa, Melissa. All right, Pearl, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you guys for being here today. Can you hear me? Let me make sure.
We got.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. My name is Pearl M. from North Carolina, a compulsive overeater. This paragraph reminds me of two things that I saw on television. One was an inpatient eating disorder clinic in Hilton Head, South Carolina. It was a man there that was an athlete, a former athlete, a coach, I think he was. And so he went to that, his weight has gotten ballooned. So he went to this facility and he followed their strict eating plan and he followed their strict exercise routine and he got the weight off. But then there was a third part to it as well. And it was the part that he had to talk to a therapist or a doctor. And he didn't want to do that part. He was insistent that I know how to do this. I got the weight off now. I'm looking good. I know what I'm doing. I've done this several times. I know how to get this weight off. I know how to lose weight. And she asked him a simple question. She said, but why do you keep returning? Why does the weight keep coming back? And he couldn't answer that question because he did not want to get down to causes and conditions. And that's what she wanted to get down to, causes and conditions. But he was so reluctant to do that, but eventually he did. And also I saw another thing on television that reminds me, years ago was this commercial that I used to hear all the time, back in the 80s I think it was, and at the end of that commercial it used to say, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. And that's what I had to come to realize, it's not what I'm eating, it is what's eating me. And that's what this program has revealed to me, what is eating me. And now that this program has revealed to me what is eating me, I can take it to God and I can stop it with his help. I know how to exercise. I know how to keep weight off. It's calories in, calories out. I know how to do all of that. But I did not know how to do the rest of it. And I'm so grateful for this program for getting me there. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pearl. Next up is Esther K., followed by Jackie M. Star one, Esther.
Hi, you can hear me? You
gotcha.
Can hear me?
Yes, gotcha.
Okay. Hi, I'm Esther K. from Georgia. I had gastric bypass surgery 2003. I was 34 years old. I did all diets. I was bullied. My father told me he was going to give me for each pound, he was going to give me $300, and nothing worked. I just finished treatment with cancer. Right now I'm in recovery on my program. And this is the only thing. I used to read the page say, yeah, you should think about the person that has cancer. Well, yeah, I have cancer. And my sponsor was so kind and so sweet while I was having radiation because I was so, so sick. And she says, Esther, I cannot do it. She says, look, right now when I told her I'm out of radiation, I'm feeling 100% good, she says to me, you're totally honest. Now you don't have, you have to follow your food plan. And I started, and I was able to follow it. But I was humbly honest that I have to surrender totally to the higher power. I couldn't do it by myself. I have a list, what I need to do in the morning during my meditation. I have a list what I have to do in the afternoon because I have learned this ability. So reading for me, it's easy to follow the footsteps. God gave us this beautiful phone call. Gosh, God is giving us all the tools. How in the world am I not going to take advantage of it? And I hear only recovery, recovery, recovery. When I started hearing people recovered for like 20 years, 25 years, I was almost shocked. I said, how in the world? Yes, you can be recovered and you can have your full life. And that's what I am today. I'm willing not only recover from cancer, but I'm recovering from a spiritual, mentally, and physical program. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Esther. Next up is Jackie M., followed by Deanne F.
Hi, this is Jackie M. from Michigan. Thank you, Russ, for your service. As a nurse, I'm kind of in my later years. I'm working in an easier, I don't want to say easier, but less demanding physical atmosphere in an addiction clinic where I have to give injections to some of the addicts and that are addicted to cocaine, heroin, the drugs I've never heard of. I had to travel to another location to do that. And as I was there, one of the workers was telling me about, you know, we have an injection. Well, now I'm not going to say we have, because in our world today, there's an injection out here for weight now. You know, it just sounds so, you know, oh, wow, that's the answer. And, you know, oh, just this shot, and, you know, and this worker was telling me how she does get this injection, and she's lost quite a bit of weight, and how easy it is. And then she made a comment, well, I'll be on this for the rest of my life. And we got interrupted and everything. And I had mentioned I was a food addict. I really do come out and say I'm a food addict, even though people at work don't understand it, you know, and it doesn't matter. You know, I just know what I am. And as I, you know, finished up there and was walking out the door of the clinic and the sun was shining, I couldn't help but think, you know, hey, I've got it better. Now I don't say better, but I've got it for me, because I have my higher power with me. I have a source to go to. I don't have to go to any other means to lose weight, to, you know, I don't have to do that, because I have a higher power that is with me and I can turn to any time. You know, some days, you know, it looks like I certainly didn't turn to my higher power, but I made it through and I didn't turn to food. And I know that bad times, they get better, it passes. And I felt like $1 million walking out of there. So it's funny, because a lot of these people that get injections, they're still using terribly on the street. They're still doing all that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. Next up is Deanne F., followed by Madeline H.
Hey, good morning, Russ. This is Deanne F. from New York. And I can say that I am like the foreword of this book, which is the super beginning of this book, that says, I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And, you know, that's what this paragraph is talking about. But it's somebody who... the person who they're saying is speaking, like, we don't know if they have this disease, but they're not identifying. They're identifying themselves as doctors and psychiatrists. So, you know, they're, you know, looking at us and admitting essentially that they are powerless to help us. That if we rely on their power, it's hopeless. So, like, you know, the amazing, you know, great fact, you know, for me today is that, you know, there is no other solution. Like, that's the good news, because that means there is a solution. But there isn't another solution for me, for what I have. But it requires me to actually acknowledge and accept and admit what I have.
because if I don't know what I have, excuse me, I'm not going to take the treatment for what I have. I mean, the amazing thing is that the treatment for this disease has no bad side effects. It only has great side effects. And so, you know, I have to have divine hopelessness, because that's what divine help can fix. So I just thank you guys. I love you, and I'm going to let you go. Bye.
Thanks, Deanne. Next up is Madeline H., followed by Vanessa G. Star One, Madeline.
Hi. I thought I was. I'm a recovering compulsive over from New York. Many, many years ago, even before OA, which I joined in 2003, a friend priest said, God is a gentleman, and you have to invite him in. And when I came, and I didn't really listen, and when I came into OA, I realized my part of my problem was I did not trust people, nor did I trust God. And through the years, all of that changed. And then I got a resentment towards A Vision for You. Because I thought they were taking away from face-to-face meetings. And finally, my sponsor got through to me, and I came to A Vision for You September 7th, 25. And a miracle happened. All of resentment was washed away. And the secret is, no matter how far down the scale you are, you have to be healed inside. And when that occurs, you'll know. And God's doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I thank you guys for being here. I pass.
Thank you, Madeline. Next up is Vanessa G, followed by Melissa S.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G, a compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. When I start this chapter with my sponsees, I have them go through the chapter and pull out all the strong language in here about the mental condition that we have, and how over and over again in the chapter they let us know that there is no mental defense, that over and over again we will go back to our compulsive eating, our compulsive food behaviors, no matter what, because there is no mental defense. And this particular paragraph, it talks so much to me, or it speaks to me so much, from the fact that at the end of doing that, at the end of finishing up this chapter, hopefully I am at the place where I too can say, I am 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And that there is virtually no other solution besides the spiritual approach. It happened to me, you know, it's happened to me twice in my life, you know, where I've gotten to that place with an addiction and was able to understand that I was 100% hopeless, 100% hopeless. And it wasn't just that I could, you know, say, okay, now I'm going to let God do it. I had to listen to other people who had been in the same situation as I had been and do what they had done in order to recover. That's why I'm so grateful for this meeting. There's so many people on this line who can tell me their story and tell me how they were 100% hopeless and how they found a spiritual approach that was a solution to their problem of not having the mental defense, the mental capability to overcome this disease, and help me find a higher power that can do that for me. It works. It really does. I love that little saying. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. Thank you for helping me recover. Thank you for helping me find my higher power.
Sorry about that. I got muted. So Melissa S. is up. And it looks like you're going to probably be our last one. We'll see.
Hi, this is Melissa S. from New Jersey. I get so overwhelmed from listening to everyone shares. Every time it just like hits me in the heart. I have recommitted to this so many times, and I'm just not doing the work. A lot of the reason why I came here is because I kept going to doctor and doctor and nutritionist, and I'm gathering information, and I'm not following through. And, like, how hard is it to write down your food? How hard is it to eat what they're, you know, abstain from whatever being suggested and eat properly? And but as I'm listening to everyone shares, I'm like, why? I come to meetings. A lot of days I make a lot of phone calls. And a lot of days I'm saying, okay, I'm going to do this. And even some days I eat on plan. But am I doing all the other things? Am I getting through the steps? No. Am I being consistent? No. Am I, as I'm sitting here listening, I'm like, why? And it just occurred to me listening to everyone shares, like, there's like, I went to a meeting the other day and the topic was resentment. And I was like, oh, favorite topic. I feel like I'm like, I am attached to my resentment and I'm attached. It's like my friend. Like I feel so justified and so angry and so resentful. And it's just like my comfort zone. And I've been, my qualifier is like, we've been bickering and keep saying, why are we bickering? Why are we bickering? We want to stop bickering and keep bickering and just stuck in the cycle of resentment and stuck in the cycle of I want justice and I don't want to do this. And I know about God and I know my life is unmanageable and I'm trying to surrender, but I'm not doing the work. I'm like, then I hear all of you and you're like, just do the work. And I hear so much recovery. And I'm just sitting here like really, really disappointed in myself. Like, I can't do the work.
Sorry.
Like, why? Okay. It's my time. So thanks for listening.
Sally A.
Okay. You only got a minute.
I'll take that minute. It's Sally A.
Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. Gratefully recovered only because of the grace of God. And I just have to say that was such a great share just now because it was pure step one. I just can't. I'm powerless. And it took me so many years of thinking I was spiritual and religious, but honestly, going through a lot of the motions, but not ever really trying to just let go of the sword and the stone. I could not pull the sword out of the stone. I could not handle the kryptonite.
because I was Supercell and I still couldn't handle the kryptonite. And the moral of the story is, step one, take the first step. Oh, I can't do it. That's right. I am powerless, completely powerless. I have to just turn my face up and say, help me, do it for me, God. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Sal, your last share today. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please stick around for a second unrecorded hour of study after closing. And today's share ID, Friday, June 4th, 2026, is 23,521. That's 23521. And now we're going to close with a reading from the big book on page 164. Read, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you till then, and then we'll pray the serenity prayer.
Being asked recovered compulsive eater, anorexic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.